Cape Talk. WhatsApp Sarah Jane
on 072-567-1567.
So every week at this time on the show, we look to start your day with an inspiring story by inviting somebody to join us who has overcome adversity or turned their life around, displayed resilience in the face of hardship, or survived against the odds. This week, our guest on My Amazing Life is Olga Makhlindwane. It's nearly 12 years since Olga walked into a Pretoria prison to stand face to face with the man who, in 1996, had almost killed her. Stefan Kutsia and two accomplices had planted three bombs in the Worcester Mall on Christmas Eve, and their cowardly actions left a trail of devastation. Four people died, 67 were injured in the blast. Now, Mum Olga Makhlindwane was one of those injured. She was in the mall that day doing some last-minute shopping for Christmas like many other shoppers. In the years that have passed, she's taken part in a victim-offender dialogue programme with Kutsia and was presented with an award by Archbishop Desmond Tutu for her commitment to community reconciliation. And she says that forgiving Kutsia has allowed her to move on. I'm delighted to say that Mum Olga joins us this morning to share her story with us in her own words and why she refused to be held hostage by unforgiveness. Mum Olga, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you. Good morning for having me this morning on your show.
What are your memories of that day, Mum Olga? You left your three children at home while you went to go and do some last-minute Christmas shopping.
Yes, it was a bad day, and when I was supposed to go to the shopping, because it was on the 24th of December 1996, and I left my children around about 10 o'clock in the morning with my husband, and my husband was going to Dedorans, and I take him halfway to the station, and then I came back to the OK Bazaar, where I do my shopping there. And then when I finished, because I was in a hurry, because I said to my children, I won't take it long. They must wait for me at home. Really, when I go out of the OK Bazaar, I met my sister-in-law, and then we greet each other, and then she asked me to go to ShopRite. I said, no, I didn't want to go there because I left my children alone at home. And then she asked me, and then I refused for three times, saying, no, I don't want to go because I know that it's full in ShopRite. And then at the end, I told her that I have a lot of groceries. She said, no, I'm going to help you. Really, she helped me. And then we go to the other shop, Beggars, where she go there and buy the children's meal for the clothes for the children for the Christmas. And then when I went in Beggars, I was so tired, and then I sat down, and then I wait for her. And then at the end, we go down there at ShopRite Checkers. And then when we go there, we enter at Pep Store. It's the first shop because she didn't get the shoes, and then she's going to buy shoes at Pep Store. Then we get inside there, and then we pack them, and then we get the cart for the clothes. And then at a few minutes, because they're supposed to go to Eastern Cape in January the next year. And then I said, no, it's around the corner, ShopRite, so I need something there. And then I go to ShopRite. When I get inside, I said, no, I must go back again to my sister-in-law and give him that parcel card because we are going to miss each other because it's too full. Really, I go again back to ShopRite. When I get inside, I hear a smelling, and then everybody was happy at the end. I said, what is that? Is a bad smelling. No one is caring for that. And then I get inside, and then I take some groceries. I didn't take even a long time there because I was in a hurry. And then I see the tellers. I see the other teller. All tellers are full. And then I see the other one, the four people. And then in front of me was a colored man. She was just getting 4 liters of drink. And then he put it on the table and on the teller, and then she paid out. And then I follow up, and then I take all my groceries. And then when I gave the lady the money, because the groceries plus minus 200 and something, and then I gave him the 300 rand. I didn't know what happened at that time. I just hear a huge blast, and I didn't even see the lady who was saving, because it was a colored lady who was saving me. And then after a second, I try to move. I can't move. I don't know what happened. And then at the second time, I hear a lady at the back of the bakery at ShopRite asking me, come here, come here. I can't move. I want to go there, but I can't move. And then I kneel on my knees between the tellers, and then I go out there. When I go outside ShopRite, there are two guys who take me, but they pass away now because they know me. And then they take me to the road. They said, no, take me just outside the road. And then when I get there, I said, no, I'm okay here. Leave me here. When I was sitting just down, and then my legs were so swollen like a tire. I don't know what happened. When I was so concerning about that, I hear another blast. And I said, God, if I'm supposed to die, I can't move. I can't do anything. Every people are moving up and down. No one is helping me. And then after a second, I see a husky of the police, what I remember. Then they take me to the husky, and then they take me to the hospital or whatever. I don't know, because I woke up at Ivan Dunja's around about 6 o'clock. And this incident happens about past 1.
Mum, Olga, I'm aware of time, so, and I want to make sure that we hear all of your story. But just tell us what were your injuries that day, and how did you feel when you learned that it was a young boy who had done this? Stefans was 16 years old at the time that he planted that bomb.
It was painful because I was so surprised when I was in prison seeing him there. Because all these years I was thinking maybe it's an old man, you know, all these years. Because this happened to Stefans after 13 years, and I didn't know even my perpetrators. But since I was so lucky, and in 2002, because I'm curious of reading papers, I was reading Worcester local paper, and then I see the perpetrators, and I was surprised that our perpetrators have been sentenced, and we didn't know anything about the case or whatever, something like that. And then in 2009, it is the first time I see Stefans at the Mampuru prison. And the people who make this to see those people are the people from Germany, Tony and Richard, who exposed this to me, because I didn't even express myself anywhere, because I tried to write to the Human Rights Commission in Parliament, and at that time it was Mrs. Baleka who was responsible for the human rights. I didn't get the answer. Even today, I'm still wanting the answer. Where are my rights starts and when my rights ends up?
I want to
talk
to you.
Because we didn't even know, because we are still suffering as a victim.
Mum, I want to talk to you about the forgiveness side of things, because I've read a number of articles that have been written about you, where you speak about that forgiveness. You went to Pretoria prison and you met, you stood face to face with, he'd then grown into a man, many years had passed, and you stood face to face with Stefans Kutsia. Had you already forgiven him by the time you got to the prison, or was it the meeting at the prison that allowed you to forgive him?
I don't want to lie to you. When I was going to Pretoria, I was having an anger. I don't want to lie to you, because I was getting that anger, because when I'm suffering, I want to know who did this to me. You know, I'm almost asking myself what happened. And now at the end of the day, I see the young man like him, and then that anger, I was very, very, very angry. I can't express how do I, because I was sick at that time. But after I met him, Stefans, and told me the whole story, what happened, and I told him, Stefans, the story what you have told me, whether it's true or not, it's only God who knows. I'm not a judgment. Because I see a young man like him, because I didn't expect a young man like him, and he expressed himself, and then he was crying when he told me the story, what happens, and he was mandated to do this bombs, and was staying at Beaufort West Farm and what was doing there. And then he was angry. And he was hated with black people because the first question I asked him, why did you do this to me? Because you didn't know me. He said, Olga, I was hating black people. And the people who grew me, they told me I must hate the black people. So it's the way he grew up. So that is how I said, I supposed to think, what would happen if it was mine?
If you're just joining us this morning, I'm talking with Worcester bombing victim Olga Mathindwane, who is speaking to us about how she came to forgive the man who tried to kill her. Stefan Kutsia was 16 years old when he and two other accomplices planted bombs at the Worcester Mall. And Olga was one of the victims of that attack. She met him at Pretoria Prison a number of years ago and says that she now forgives him. Mum Olga, has he showed remorse for his actions? Has he apologised to you?
Yeah, he apologized to me. At that time, when he apologizes to me, I was not sure of what he was doing. But when I see him crying, saying, Olga, I do this. And then I ask him, what did you promise if I can forgive you? He said, Olga, I've got nothing. Because I was 17 years when I was here in prison. And when I see Mampuru, you can't live there for 40 years. Without seeing anything, you just see the walls and you see the skies, you can't see anything. I feel that pain as if I'm a Christian and always saying, Our Father in heaven, forgive those who forgive. How can God forgive me? Because I'm a sinner each and every day. How can I not forgive Stefan? Because I don't see my enemy, I see the child of God.
If he hadn't apologized to you, Mum Olga, do you think that you would still have been able to forgive him? Was your forgiveness, did it depend upon his apology or was it something completely different?
I won't, because I didn't see him. How can I forgive somebody? I didn't see him. Mm. And he didn't explain what happened. And now he explained to me what happened. And the way he grew up. And the way he grew up, her story is similar to mine, because I have no mother. I didn't know my mother, you know. So I'm very thankful of my stepmother who grew me up.
Tell me something. What is your relationship like with Stefan's today? He gave you his Comrades Marathon medal a few years back, which is extraordinary. How did that come about? What did that mean to you? And like I said, what is your relationship like with him today?
Oh, it's a good relationship with him, because when he was in prison, he knows my birthday, because I born in 10 September 1959. Always give me the cards. And one day he wrote me a poem. Unfortunately, he's reading the poem of Africans I supposed to do someone and to explain me what happened. But it's a good relationship, because I go there when he was in prison to visit him. And when he came out, he came and visited me. You got a good relationship with him all the time. It's like my son now. I said one day, you are my firstborn now, because we are the firstborn. I've got three children now. We are the firstborn, and then the others are following you. And he's always laughing when I'm saying that.
Tell me something. Do you think that Stefan's has been appropriately punished for his crime? And the reason that I ask you that is because there will be people listening in this morning who think that he should actually have rotted in jail and he should never have been released, and that he deserves to die in prison for what he did. What do you think? Has he been appropriately punished for what he did?
No, he punishes himself, because he came forward and told the story what happened. He punished himself.
There will be people listening in now, Mum Olga, who are just in awe, as I am, of the level of forgiveness that you have been able to show Stefan's. The fact that you speak about having a good relationship with somebody who once upon a time could have ended your life. What do other people think? What do your friends, your family think about your relationship with him?
Yeah, the children, they didn't accept, actually. Because they say, Mommy, what are you doing for this? Because we get nothing for this. I said, no, I'm working for God. It's only God who's going to pay me. I don't want to be paid, but I need someone who can help me.
Yeah.
It's not that I want to be paid. I want something to help me. Because I'm suffering still. I'm even I'm supposed to go to the doctors and so on. Like last week, I was suffering a lot, but I feel good. But I need someone who can help me. Also the other victims, because we are suffering.
Do you still speak with the other victims, Mum Olga?
Yes, we speak to the other victims. And we do our peace train in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. We go there with the other victims to go and seek defense. Because when I came back in 2009 and reported to them, they think that I decided for them to forgive defense. I said, no, I didn't decide for the other victims. I decided for myself, not for the other victims. So that is why I asked the management of the prison to let Stefans to come to Worcester. But it was a difficult process. But at the end, the prison was involved. And then he helped us to go there, to the other victims to go there and see Stefans in Pretoria prison. And they forgave Stefans. The only lady who was sister was passed away who didn't forgive him. But at the end, when Stefans came to Worcester, he forgave him. So the other victims, they always forgave him.
Mum Olga, yours is the most extraordinary story of not only of healing and resilience, but also of forgiveness. It's been an absolute privilege to have you on the show this morning. We thank you so much for your time. And I should just say that Mum Olga will be back with us in a few weeks' time with Stefans Kutsia. They're going to be joining us for a special talking point on forgiveness ahead of World Forgiveness Day. So please make sure that you join that conversation with Mum Olga Matlindwane and Stefans Kutsia, joining us together on air for a special talking point conversation to talk about forgiveness.